morning, everyone. Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley. So glad that you all made it. Hopefully the roads weren't too terrible on the way in. I have a few announcements to share with you this morning. The first is a question. Did the Women's Association meeting get rescheduled?
No, we didn't.
Okay, that's fine. Just wanted to make sure that I announced the right date. Today, friends, is Transfiguration Sunday. It is the Sunday before Lent begins. I can't believe Lent is already upon us. Because of that, we are going to be celebrating Ash Wednesday together this coming Wednesday at 7 o'clock via Zoom. Lynn Garvey, our secretary, will be sending out the link tomorrow. I didn't want her to send it too early so nobody lost it. But we will be doing that at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. Next week, we have our deacon meeting on Wednesday night. That will also be happening via Zoom. I'm trying to think. No, sorry. I almost said you had a session meeting, but that's the other church. Sometimes I get them a little bit confused. This is both an announcement and a prayer request. So I'm sure you noticed Kristen isn't with us this morning. She is awaiting results of a COVID test. She got tested on Friday. They did a rapid COVID test and it was inconclusive. So I told her just to stay home until she gets the result of the test that usually takes 3 or 4 days to get back. I talked to her last night. She said she's feeling okay. Her sense of taste is a little bit weird. That's why she got tested. As soon as I know more, I will let you all know. But hopefully she'll be able to join us on Wednesday night. Those are all of the announcements I have. Does anyone else have any announcements to share? Oh, I forgot. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Friends, at this time, I invite you to I just almost forgot the call to worship. Friends, at this time, please join with me for our call to worship. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun and where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him and around him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth, and he may judge his peoples. Gather to me this consecrated people who made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens proclaimed his righteousness, for he is a God of justice. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, Forever. with me now in our prayer of confession. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sins, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our hearts, cleanse us from all our offenses and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that with reverent and humble hearts we may draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you our refuge and strength. Through Jesus Christ, your Son. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that we are forgiven. Amen. Let us profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us wave to one another as the choir prepares their anthem. Good morning. Good to see you all. Good morning.
Transfigure us, O Lord. Transfigure us, O Lord.
couple of prayer requests to share with you this morning. The first is a joy and a concern. So last week we prayed for Kathy Enrieto. She was having surgery on her elbow. She had the surgery on Monday, and by all accounts it went very well. She is home. She is recovering. She, of course, fell and broke her right elbow, which is the hand that she writes with and does everything with. So please continue to keep her in your prayers as she recovers, but she is on the mend. Also, please keep the Sagi family in your prayers. Kathy's sons, Michael and Jonathan, are positive for COVID, which means that her whole household has to quarantine till the end of the month. And, you know, that's difficult to do under the best of circumstances. It's really challenging to do when you've got multiple generations living in one household. So please pray for them as they recover. Continue to pray for Kristen. I'm hoping I get a text message from her later today saying she's negative, but I just pray that if she is positive, she's able to recover quickly. Final prayer request. So my friend Laura, who is a pastor in Mount Lebanon, texted me this morning that she wiped out on the front steps of her church as she was heading to worship this morning and definitely sprained, maybe broke her leg. So it was covered in white ice, and she wasn't black ice, and she wasn't paying attention. So her church service is canceled for this morning. But so if you could just pray for her, pray that it's just sprained and not broken. She's like my age, so I'm sure her church is going to give her crap about it for the rest of her life. But I'm really hoping it's not broken for her sake. I think those are all of the prayer requests I have this morning. Do we miss anything? All right. Friends, please join with me in prayer. Eternal God, your kingdom has broken into our troubled world through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son. Help us to hear your word and obey it, that we may become instruments of your saving love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, let us pray for our concerns. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. Lord, this morning we lift up to you Kathy, we lift up to you Jonathan and Michael Sagi. We pray for Kristen, and we pray for Laura. Lord, we pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, we continue to pray for all of those who are struggling with COVID this day. We pray that for those who are positive, they are able to isolate and recover quickly. We pray for all of those who know them and love them, that they would be supportive. Lord, we continue to pray for your wisdom and discernment in the vaccine rollout here in Allegheny County. We pray especially that you would be with our seniors that do not have internet access and their, as I am sure, frustrated family members who are trying to get them a vaccine appointment. Lord, we rejoice and celebrate Valentine's Day this day, a day where we really take stock and remember the loved ones in our lives. We pray especially, Lord, that you would be with people that don't have loved ones today, who are feeling especially heavily the weight of social isolation and distancing. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear, but may we also do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Friends, let us quiet our hearts and our minds for our offering. Thanks to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. The scripture this morning is from Mark 9, 2 through 9. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is a reading of God's word. Thanks be
to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Mountaintop experiences. Experiences where we remove ourselves from our everyday life and we go in search of a deeper experience with God. Sometimes we do this when we go away on retreats. Sometimes we do this when we go off on our own in nature. Mountaintop experiences are called mountaintop experiences because they frequently happen on a mountain. When we say mountaintop experiences, we mean an experience where we feel the presence of God more clearly than we would otherwise. Today's scripture reading, the story of Jesus' transfiguration, is a mountaintop experience for his disciples. They remove themselves with Jesus so that they can see God clearly. Now, not every mountaintop experience happens on a mountain. My last mountaintop experience happened on an ordinary Wednesday afternoon in my apartment. Now, Wednesdays are usually the day during the week that I try to work from home, and I try to get a draft of my sermon written. Now, some Wednesdays, sermon writing comes easily. But most Wednesdays feel like what I call sermon purgatory. You have an idea what you want to say, but you have no idea how you're going to say it, and you spend most of the day praying that the sermon will come to you before Sunday morning. I remember on this particular Wednesday, I was in the middle of a rough sermon purgatory. But we were also having one of those rare Pittsburgh winter days where the sun was actually shining. Now, the way that my apartment is set up, when the sun shines, I get all of this beautiful natural light streaming into my office. Now, before we all started working from home, my office wasn't an office, it was just a guest bedroom. So I have this futon in my office that back when we had, you know, people staying over, guests would sleep on. Now, my cat River has kind of taken over this futon and it is now her bed, particularly when I'm trying to work from home. I think she intentionally times her naps when I'm supposed to be working just so she can kind of mock me. Now, on this Wednesday, there was a moment that she fell asleep directly in sunlight, and she just looked so adorable that I had to take a picture of her. This is the picture that I took of River. See, she kind of fell asleep right in that sunlight. Now, as I was editing this photo, thinking that I was going to put it on social media, I was really struck by how different she looks in natural light as compared to the pictures that I normally take of her on those cold, gray, wintry Pittsburgh afternoons, where her fur kind of blends into the background of wherever she's sitting because there's no light. But in natural light, I noticed that she actually has these three little freckles on her left cheek. I also noticed that the hair on her belly is actually a little bit lighter than the hair on her back. And it doesn't matter if she is passed out or awake, her ears always stick straight up. As I was looking at this picture, I was thinking about how much more clearly things come in natural light as opposed to no light or low light. And this kind of got me thinking about the Transfiguration, where for the first time, Jesus reveals himself to the disciples robed in white. And I kind of got to thinking about how maybe the disciples noticed him clearly for the first time there, too. Now, I hope this story of the Transfiguration is a familiar one to us. We read it every Sunday, every year, on the Sunday before Lent begins. So before Jesus is tested, betrayed, crucified, died, and ascends to heaven. Before all of that, we get this story of hope. a story that redeems all of the suffering that is to come. I like to think of the Transfiguration as a story of Jesus, the light at the end of the tunnel. So in the Transfiguration story, Mark begins by reminding Jesus' disciples that Jesus is the Son of God and that they should listen to him. If you've been following along in Mark's gospel, you'll notice that there are three times when God reveals to the disciples who Jesus is. They happen at Jesus' baptism, his transfiguration, and also at his death. I think God confirms Jesus' identity at these important moments in Jesus' life and ministry. In baptism, the Holy Spirit falls upon Jesus and he is able to begin his ministry. At his transfiguration, his disciples realize, hey, this is not just like some cool, smart dude that we're following around. This is actually God in the flesh. And at his death, the crowd realizes just how much Jesus loves them. He loves them so much that he's willing to die a death he doesn't deserve. I like to think of these three moments in Jesus' life, his baptism, his transfiguration, and his death. These are all light at the end of the tunnel moments. They're moments when the disciples experience hope in God's promises in a new and in a clear way. And they're also moments that alter the course of Jesus' life and the disciples. Having experienced the fulfillment of God's promises in the person of Jesus, Jesus can't go back to Nazareth and be a carpenter, nor can the disciples return to their boats and be fishermen. Friends, I think at this point in the church calendar, we could all use a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. Since Christmas, we've been focusing on who Jesus is, but also what it's going to mean for us to follow Jesus in our lives. We've learned of the great joy, but also the great sacrifice this type of life requires. Next week, we're going to begin our journey to the cross with Jesus, where he is going to be betrayed by a close friend, publicly humiliated, and left to die a criminal's death, only to return to the Father and to entrust us to steward the mystery of salvation to every subsequent generation. What I appreciate about Mark's transfiguration story is that it gives us a moment to pause, to catch our breaths, to remind us of our hope in God's promises as we prepare for the work ahead. With Peter, James, and John, we too get to dwell for a moment in the presence of God, while at the same time, we're reminded that like the disciples, we are not called to live our lives on a mountaintop either. The Transfiguration story eventually moves us back down the mountain into the normal routines of life. Because God doesn't just tell us that Jesus is his son, he also tells us to listen to him. Friends, learning to listen to God is the journey of Lent, a journey that begins for us this week on Ash Wednesday. I hope that many of you will be able to join us on Zoom at 7 o'clock for a special Ash Wednesday service. There we will reflect and meditate on our own morality, but we will also reflect on the hope we have in Jesus. One of the things we learn in Lent is that the way of Jesus is the way of the cross. because Jesus doesn't live on the mountaintop either. Jesus lives on the valleys of everyday life, where even he cannot escape rejection, suffering, death, and the hope of resurrection. But not only can he not escape them, he redeems them so they become an integral part of his mission. Friends, the miracle of our faith is that we have a Savior who not only died for us, but who undergoes the same suffering, rejection, pain, and loss that we experience as well. And it is by way of that suffering that Jesus redeems humanity. So yes, there is light at the end of the tunnel, but we have to walk through the tunnel first, strengthened by our faith that Jesus walks alongside us always. So, friends, as we head into Lent, I want to confirm that the way of the cross is the path of discipleship for us too. In the way of the cross will include stops along the way on top of mountains and also in deep valleys. Let us go from this place expecting God to reveal himself to us on top of the mountains and next to the quiet waters. While we journey with God, let us pause and look for moments where we can see the light, the end of the tunnel. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise and join with me for our closing hymn, How Fitting for Transfiguration, Shine.
Thank you.
offer a word of blessing as we go from this place. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a plan, God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.